What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotnik je.
Hello and welcome to Better Than H, a diehard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
I am very well, actually, Terry, very well. How are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal. I find every time we start this now, I just get a fit of the giggles or something. Like, it's like, here's our bit.
What's he going to do this time, huh?
Anyway, pal, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm good. You know, it's the middle of the month, so I'm on easy street. Well, for somebody who works in finance,
you don't have that month-end headache. It's a mere 2 weeks away.
I tell you, it surely is. And like, I was working from home today, and I was thinking to myself when I was working from home, like, 2 weeks ago, my posture, everything, it's like,
yeah, just crunched over, up.
Like, yeah. Whereas today I was like working away and I was getting my stuff done, whatever, but I was just like, oh, this is different, you know, like,
what's your workspace like?
Not great. We have an office upstairs that Faye works in, and because I'm only in the house a couple of days a week working, I'm normally in the hospital, right. So I just kind of work where I can. I work at the kitchen table, but if somebody's in the kitchen, yeah. I work in the bedroom, if somebody's in the bedroom, I work on the couch.
You work in the front yard.
Yeah, I tell you, if the Wi-Fi would stretch and the weather was good, I would work out the back garden.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, well, so, you've got 2 weeks to go for
exactly,
that headache. Don't even think about it.
I always think of that scene in The Wolf of Wall Street where it's DiCaprio and McConaughey. And he's like, how many times a week do you jerk off? Yeah, and he's like, I don't know, once, twice a week. And he's like, those are rookie numbers, man. You're dealing with high finance, you know. It's all up in your shoulders. And I'm like, yes, he's right. I don't know the jerking off stuff, but the shoulder crunching thing. I'm like, yes, of course.
Apparently that is something that he does before. Like,
oh,
scene,
that thing, yeah.
Leo DiCaprio saw it and said, hey, you should do that on the whatever.
And after hearing that, it loses its spark for me, to be honest.
Think?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just
like, I like that. Isn't that the magic of filmmaking, though, Terry? You, of all people, I would have thought would appreciate
it. Yeah, but I'm like, I would have... how would I say it? I would have much preferred it if he had it in his head.
Right.
And he was like, I'm just going to do this on this take and see what happens. You know, as opposed to like, hey, that was great. Let's bring it in. If McConnell... I know I'm very much picking
nits
here.
That's how some of the best stuff... That feedback... thing at the start of I Feel Fine, you know, that was because they just left the guitar against an amp and there was a bit of feedback and they're like, oh, can we do that again?
Yeah.
Some of the best ideas.
I know, 100%, but like, I don't know, just hearing McConaughey dine out on that story on Graham Norton or something like that, I'm like...
I know.
Like, it's a weird thing about McConaughey because I think he's great, but also I think, like, even that Oscar speech, my dad, he's dancing, and I'm like...
His book is good.
I know you're fucking going on about it.
Green
like,
light. Yeah, it's good. It's a good performance. Like,
I don't know. There's something about it. Like, George Clooney is another one. Like that Oscar speech, and like I find George Clooney like compelling as hell. Such a charming man, and he gets up there and he like has this like pre-prepared.
That was that smug thing from
South Park. Yeah, but it is very smug. It comes off. Yeah.
You broke up there a second.
You broke up. You broke up.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah. Okay, what have you been up to?
I tell you, I'm just waiting for I'm waiting for you to do it. Just do the thing so I can tell you the
story.
What is that? That looks
different. You should know.
What do you think? The new Coca-Cola, it's not even zero sugar. Do you notice a difference?
I'll tell you now, I bought a 12-pack today in Aldi, so...
Is this your first taste?
Yeah. It's just a rebranding.
They're phasing out the Coke Zeros, is the new thing.
Yeah, it's just a rebranding.
Speaking of, I've got my
Oh, you got a Zero classic. Now I'm having mine with a Jameson.
Oh.
In a lovely Jameson glass. I got it as a birthday present from my sister. Got me a bottle of Jemmy and two lovely. Look at this whiskey glass here. It's nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, would you call that a tumbler?
No, a tumbler is smaller.
Okay.
And it's not exactly a Slim Jim. I don't know what it is. But it's like something you would get if you asked for a double Jemmy and Coke in a bar. They would give it to you in this. You know what I mean?
Nice. I know what you mean.
Do you?
I know what you mean.
Do you?
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right. What was I going to say?
You know what I hate?
Yeah.
When you make your own ice, and they melt quicker than the bag of ice.
And they melt quicker than the bag ice
cube.
Of ice.
The ice cubes melt quick. I don't know what it is. Whenever you make your own ice. In the ice tray.
That's because they're smaller, surely, right?
Yeah, but like they don't last a longer time. They don't last pissing time. You know?
You want to get the bag of those roundy cubes.
No, I don't like the bag. That reminds me of my ma's house, where it's just like bags upon bags in the freezer.
Now it's very intrusive. You'd want like it's constantly. My fucking there's fingers, never enough they'd room. Be
pink as well. Like I'm like. Ugh.
I seen The Rock had this thing where it was like an ice. Like, don't you, run, you don't even know what
rock.
I'm going to say.
Jesus
you don't even
Christ.
Know what I'm going to say. He had this thing, and it was like you had a block
week
of ice.
With you.
It's your Willem Dafoe.
He fucking wishes.
He has this. It's in like a square thing, and he presses down on it, and when he comes up, it's like a perfect sphere of ice that he has in his Terramana tequila.
Was that his new tequila line?
Yeah, it's huge apparently. But the ice cube is what I was most impressed with.
Clooney. You know, Clooney sold his tequila company for like billions.
What? Really?
Or, yeah. So he doesn't like the whole
and
thing.
He's got all that Nescafe money.
Nespresso.
Ah, Nescafe. You wouldn't be caught dead with Nescafe. What an idiot.
But no, he sold it and essentially that's the whole thing. Like, he only needs to act whenever he wants to act. You know, like, you know, he literally.
So it makes him so endearing.
Yeah, I guess, but like,
maybe endearing is not the right word, but it makes him so, I don't know.
I know, like sometimes like you need the necessity, you know, to bring out the goods. Like I didn't watch that Midnight Sky, but like by all accounts,
shite.
Yeah, there you go. Like
absolutely shite.
Like he's been on a bad run lately.
Yeah,
really.
I suppose he has, isn't he?
Like, you know,
when was Gravity? Like 2012.
Yeah, 2013 or 14, like, but
isn't that mad that that's like nearly 10 years ago?
Yeah, I know. Like, I always think about that. Like,
like how was the year 2000 also 10 years ago? Nobody knows.
Well, okay, yeah, we're not gonna get into it, but
it's at a conference today, Terry. Right?
Sure.
100 people on the stream, and I tell you,
survey says.
Riddled with technical errors, i.e. my end. First of all, like, it's a whole big setup. We have the speaker in there. He's like, and we're going to go live to blah, 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 blah. And they've recorded their presentation earlier in the studio. And I've edited it. And then we're playing the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then the video starts playing. All the comments like, no audio, can't hear. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So it turned out I just had the speaker muted. So that was embarrassing. And then at one point, the camera just went black. And like it was like, okay, well, we're having some technical issues here, folks. And I'm scrambling around like, what the fuck? There wasn't a wire plugged into the camera and the battery died.
God.
And like these little, like there's a million wires coming out of a million different things. So I didn't spot this one. So I was fucking sweating.
You're like Charlie, who we'll get to on the next episode. You're with your chalk and the wires. Charlie, exactly, get out of there. Andy, get out of there. Fuck it, I'm staying.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. I've actually got a lot to say. Just on our Patreon, we're doing Die Hard with a Vengeance this week, and I tell you, it was my pick, but I've got plenty of new opinions on it. I'll say that.
Hell yeah! Okay, but anyway, I'm excited.
What have you been up to? More importantly, Terry.
Not much. The weather was nice at the weekend, so there was a bit of walking done. You know, Christopher walking. It was, Faye was in college this weekend, so it was just me and Bonnie for the most part.
Nice.
So it was nice, you know. I've kind of made a standing appointment with one of my friend of the show, Colin Pilo. Last few weekends, we've been getting out early with the kids to, like, let the kids go to the playground, and we've kind of make sure they're not running and touching each other, but and keeping social distance. I should have said that a lot better. but yeah, you know, so that's been nice, especially when the weather's decent, you know. In terms of things that I've been watching, now
can I cut you off immediately, Terry, and tell you that I watched the first half of Gangs of London yesterday?
Oh yeah,
very good.
Hey, did you watch the first episode or the first half?
No, the first half. It's like a movie length. It's an hour 48.
Oh, is it that long? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, it's good. I don't buy your man Joe Cole yet, a little posh.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to. That's the thing. I don't think you're supposed. Like, the whole thing is like he'll never be as like Colomini, you know?
Yeah.
And even like he looks smaller. Joe Cole, he looks smaller than he did in Peaky Blinders. Is that right? Like,
I don't know. He looked kind of small in Peaky Blinders too, I thought. But he himself had a lot more gravitas in Peaky Blinders. So maybe it's just the perception.
I'm glad to hear you're enjoying it. Like,
yeah, it's
the
good.
Martial arts is fucking insane. Like, you know, if you like if you like Kung Fu, like...
I was watching it and I was saying to Kerry, I was like, it's supposed to be good. And we're like, we'll give it... And she was kind of like, oh, it's been done though. And I was like, let's just give it a go. 5 minutes in, your man on the rope, like... getting set on fire.
Oh yeah.
And
literally the first scene of it.
So I was like, okay.
Did you get to the pub yet? Did I see
That's just where I cut off, but a great fight scene in there.
Unbelievable. I was like, okay, so there's gonna be a bit of a brawl, and it's like all this, like, I was like, oh yeah, I
Jason Bourne type
shit. It's the raid, it's Gareth Evans, like, so it's proper fucking, you know,
that makes
kung
sense.
Fu jiu-jitsu, like,
yeah,
and like and it goes on like this.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, very good. I'm looking forward to the rest of it anyway. Sorry, I cut you off, though, Terry. What were you going to say?
I was
going to
say, we watched Mean Girls last night.
Ah.
Not my pick, but I enjoyed it all the same.
Have you seen it before?
Yeah, I've seen it a few times before.
Is it funny?
Yeah, it's funny. It is.
Like, I've seen it once, I think. But.
It's of its time, but it's still funny. Like, there's bits in it where, and I'm noticing this with Tina Fey's work, because Tina Fey is the screenwriter of it, and I'm noticing this with her work, that she is, how would you say, there's a lot of bad taste stuff.
Really?
Like, there is, how would I say
it? Gratuitous, like,
gratuitous, like, racism, almost. Like, there's, it's in some of her shows as well, that it's like, like, at one point, there is Asian girls giving out to each other in Chinese, whatever, fair enough, in the subtitles. And in the subtitles, it's like, N-word, please.
All right.
I'm like, oh, I forgot it was 2006 or whatever, you know, but it was like, I'm like, yeah, but like, yeah, written
the
by...
The ball's on 2006.
But like, written by a white woman... You know,
I know.
It leaves a bit of a bad taste in your mouth when you see it, like, you know. But it's still good. Like, I was kind of thinking, like, Lindsay Lohan is great in it, and it's such a shame what that
happened
industry
to her.
Yeah, that industry just like Britney Spears, like Amy Winehouse, whatever, like,
yeah,
chewed it up and spit her out. Like, they literally just, like, I mean, she's still alive today, but like.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, she's a shell of
damaged from all the shit she's had to
endure. Like, and she's great in it. And Rachel McAdams is fantastic in it as well. Like, and Amanda Seyfried, like these like big huge stars that all got.
I know
their
you're
start
not forgetting. I know you're not forgetting about number four, Terry.
Lacey Chabert.
You know it. Not
the queen of Lifetime movies. We watched some Christmas movie with her a few years ago on Netflix, and it's just like, no, terrible. Like, and it's like, oh, that's her level now. Like, oh, okay, it's a shame. She's getting paid, I guess. You know,
I'd believe it.
But I tell you what else I've been watching.
Yeah, no, I'd believe it. Yes.
So you know, I'm a fan of the movie podcast Blank Check with Griffin and David.
Yes.
You're making noise. Stop tapping your mic.
Sorry.
I can see it. Yes, it is coming up on...
Sorry, my volume seems quite low. Sorry, everyone at home. Just making sure, you know. Sorry.
So, Blank Check with Griffin and David, you know, they pick a director or directors, a directing team, you know, and they do this their mini-series on their filmography. And they're doing... Now, you won't know the names... Musker and Clements.
Musker and Clem, of course.
Well, I tell you what, you say it glibly, but they directed one of your favourite films of all time. Make way for Prince Ali. No way. They're actually two of the main driving force behind the whole Disney renaissance.
Oh.
So I've been catching up with a lot of the movies, actually, and funnily enough, Aladdin is the only one that I didn't watch. Ooh. Because I'd seen it so many times, and I know it's excellent. But, like, I caught up with Basil the Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do, but I don't really remember it. You know what I mean?
That's why I watched it again, because I remember loving it as a kid, and I watched it again. It's really good, like...
I did watch that last year, looking at the image of it. Yeah,
well,
it was
good. You remember the bad guy, Ratigan, no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's great.
But as well, I see Hercules on this list.
Yeah, that was the thing I wanted to talk to you. So,
I'd never really seen it as a kid.
And I hadn't either. And then I watched it as an adult who was slightly high. And my God, it was fucking deadly.
It is good, isn't it? Because, I've only seen it properly recently.
The music in it is like...
Soul gospel.
Yeah,
sort of.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that. It was a Greek. It's a literal Greek chorus, you know. But yeah. And then it's like you're the hero, and like I was just like, whoa! All these colors is like upbeat and like it's brilliant. Like
I remember when I was watching it. I was watching it with Carrie and her sister, and they were all about it. Like because like it was like they were like, I haven't seen Hercules. Like it's one of the best Disney ones.
And James Woods, who is. You know, a problematic person in real life, but my God, he's so good in that. Like
Danny DeVito
as well, like killing it. And the fact that they got like your man Joshua from Friends to play that he's Hercules, and you're like, okay, that makes sense that he's kind of like a blank slate. You know what I mean? Like that's what he has to be, and let everybody else be larger than life.
Yeah, he has to be the kind of straight man.
Yeah, exactly. When everybody else can kind of do, like Bobcat Goldthwait is one of the pain or panic, you know, one of Hades' minions, you know. But I really enjoyed it. And
he directed Moana as well.
Well, that's the thing, Andy. I just watched Treasure Planet today. That was their big bounce. This was like the film that like, they talk about having a blank check movie. And that was the blank check movie, and sometimes the checks
the
clear,
one.
And sometimes they bounce. And like this is the one that was like they were pitching to make that movie since 1985, and they only got to make it in 2002. And it was like after they made Aladdin, Disney were like, okay, you got to make us one more movie before you can do Treasure Planet. And like, I watched Treasure Planet. It's really interesting because it's different from all the Disney movies in that there's no songs in it.
Looks good. Well, it's like a Peter Pan thing.
No, it's Treasure Island, but in space.
All right.
So it's but it stars my man JGL. He plays Jim Hawkins in it, and the
movie
name
right there.
It's from the book.
Well, whatever a book name.
Yeah, well, that's it though. But look, they're all on Disney Plus. You could do a lot worse than watch it. I think they're retired now. Moana was their last film. They did In Between.
Gone out with a big bang.
In Between. Well, that was the thing. It was like they're at the start and then they kind of come back around at the beginning of the next wave.
Wow, what a career they've had.
Mm. And they did In Between The Princess and the Frog, which I haven't seen. So I think I'll keep, you know, give that a watch as well.
That's actually quite good as well. Yeah. I figured, New Orleans voodoo style.
Yeah, I figured you would have seen all these watching them with Joni.
Yeah,
I have.
I have recently. The Princess and the Frog is actually very good. Very well animated.
That's what they were saying. It was like, that was them coming back after this one. But there was a big like gap in between, you know, doing Treasure Planet and Princess and the Frog.
And check out this blank check pod.
Oh man, if you like movies,
I know you love it.
Oh, man, they did a whole series on Cameron, so that has everything you could ever want. You know, they've done a series. They just finished one on Zemeckis. So
is it live audience or is it?
No. It's just them, and they have guests. They have guests in the studio on the episodes, whatever that. Okay. But they're a couple of movie nerds. They're hashtag the two friends. They got there before we could have claimed that, that marketing.
Hashtag the two friends.
Yeah, they're like, competitive advantage. The only two friends that host a podcast together.
We should have come up with that.
Yeah, they beat us to the punch.
Anything else been going on with you?
Not really. That's about as much as I can muster.
I tell you, I've been listening to a newish podcast myself. Now, you're going to roll your eyes. I've been listening to the Blind Boy podcast again recently.
I never got into it. And he's an interesting fella.
It's actually very good. I'm kind of hooked now. I don't know. It's just like, you're kind of just, it's you're taking, that sounds very grand. But it's like it's just a nice little oasis from the modern world. It's like you're just in this little hub where the podcast exists almost.
Yeah.
But it talks about a whole bunch of stuff. But I don't know why, to be honest. I can't even put my finger on why. But he's smart and he's a funny guy.
He's very intelligent.
And he puts a lot of... There was loads of great stuff about, like, the hedge schools back in during the penal laws. Remember, they used to have schools in Ireland, like, in bushes so they wouldn't get caught. And then there was the Buchelbana, the boys, the white boys or something like that. Like, all this sort of stuff. And... It was a whole tangent on how Guinness has had some impact on Irish society, but he went back into the whole... But, like, it's just really interesting just to listen to, like...
But like, everybody thinks, and, like... I guess it's, like, especially the people's idea of Ireland that don't live in Ireland.
Yeah.
Is, like, they don't realise how fucked up a country we really are. Like the shit that went on here in our past... We're a very progressive country now to an extent, like, because the church has slipped away so much.
Yeah.
But, like, all this stuff and, like, that, you know, mother and baby stuff that's come out, like...
I know.
Now, crazy. Recently. But, like...
It's, like, it's a big Catholicism, like,
thing. Big.
You know what I mean? That's the really central thing to a lot of the shit that happened is... Under the guise of Catholicism and all this, but like
people running wild, you know, once they said they were doing it as part of Catholicism.
But good podcast though.
No, but like, and I know it's a funny thing to like if you look at, and we wouldn't have picked up on it when we were kids, but if you look at like Father Ted, how much that show is satire. It's stealth satire to. Younger viewers, like the idea of like when Ted saves is it Tommy Tiernan that's going to jump out the window, and then the next call is like the bishops or whoever, and it's like they're in the lavish thing. Like,
oh yeah, Alberto, when he's getting the holy cleric.
No,
we're a bit strapped for cash.
Yeah, you know all that stuff. You're like. Again, I completely went over our heads. It's like, oh yeah, whatever. These are the fancy priests. Not that like they're running amok, you know.
It's only when you're older that you appreciate Father Ted on a different level.
Yeah, and still holds up as fucking great a show. And really it was only Dermot's anniversary there.
Was it?
A couple of Sundays ago. Same anniversary as Father Jack as well. They both passed away on the same date.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. Kismet. The best.
Well, listen, Terry. Can I talk to you for a second about something very important?
Sure.
Can I talk to you about the 25th and final episode of The Simpsons 7th season, Summer of 4-Foot-2?
You can, of course.
Thank you. Cards on the table. I forgot to do the research on this one, so it's going to be news to me as it is to you, folks.
Unbelievable.
So it was written by it was released on May 19th, I'm already off the rails, 1996, written by Dan Graney and directed by Mark Kirkland. The episode guest stars Christina Ricci, who recorded her lines over the phone instead of going into the studio. Ooh, how about
interesting.
That? It was Graney's second episode on The Simpsons, and the staff of the show wanted to do a summer episode because there was so much stuff about summer vacations that they'd felt had to be covered in an episode. David Silverman particularly liked the episode because he thought it captured the feeling of being on summer vacation. Wouldn't have read that if I'd done me prep first.
I know, but I think that like it does have that feeling of like, oh,
It's like a summer special or something.
Yeah, it's a break from the... It's like when the guys from Bayside High went to the Malibu Sands for those six episodes or whatever.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, with Leia Remini.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Carosi.
The area in which the Flanders family beach house is located is based in the Cape Cod Peninsula. Many of the writers spent time on Cape Cod, so they decided to model the new locations on it. The animators looked up photographs to get inspiration, and one of the show's background designers, Lance Wilder, grew up in that area. A beach house is based on the then showrunner Josh Weinstein's parents' house in New Hampshire. Christina Ricci recorded on the phone. Weinstein, who was a fan of Ricci, thought she did a nice performance. These are the little nitty gritty stuff I wouldn't have mentioned had I done.
I thought she was really good. I'm surprised to hear that it was done over the phone, to be honest.
How is that possible? Like, her voice is just clear, like
it's
normal.
It's very
studio.
Natural. I guess they have ways, you know. Even back then, you'd set up.
It's interesting.
Clear up the audio.
The last thing was they played several board games when they were there, which gave them the idea to have the Simpson family play the Mystery Date board game in the episode. Silverman said that the episode was difficult to animate and direct because it had so many new and detailed backgrounds and completely different locations, which I kind of got. The animation was a little bit different in this one, I thought.
There's one part when we get to it, and I think it's probably my favourite bit of animation in the whole season. So far.
I think I already know what it is. So can I take a stab?
Sure.
Homer getting rid of the bomb?
No.
Okay, I'll save it then.
Brilliant.
Well, listen.
That was good too.
Can we get into it then, Terry?
Yeah, do you want to get into your notes?
Yeah, sure. Let me just get them up here. Now, first note is just excellent sprinkler impressions by Milhouse.
I realized watching this, how much I love Milhouse.
I had the same thought by the end of this. Milhouse absolutely killed it in this episode.
He was like, just it starts out with him, and he's like, you know, looking at the clock, and he's like, and then he's like, "Oh, pure kebab." Like,
school's out. Up yours, kebab.
It's like, it's great, like rug pull that it's actually the start of the day.
Yeah.
But just like him, and like even like the ice cream trucks, like, let's hear those bells.
Yeah. The fact like he's so excited about summer, he's gone on to bark about all these different sprinklers. Do you like this? Or like this? And then he's there watching the clock, like he's just unhinged in this episode.
Like looking back on it, like, you know why Bart is just like so non-responsive, because he's like, yeah, we have a whole day of school ahead. What are you getting so excited for? Like...
The up yours kerbopple was brilliant. Then the I never really picked up on the line before, but when they're opening the yearbooks, Lisa's on the yearbook committee. First of all, I love that there's a whole yearbook office in the school, but your one where she's like, the leather oleum covers were worth the extra money. You can smell the benzene.
That's the other one I was trying to remember.
But so I like that, and I just like the whole, like, I thought Lisa was going to bug me in this episode more than she did, to be honest.
They do a good job with her, and we'll get into it, but, like, it's sad, you know? Sad, you know, she's not grating, and it could very easily have gone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but it's just, you feel for her, you know?
Yeah, they do a good job of, like, particularly the scene where she's, like, packing her clothes, or when she's unpacking like a microscope, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And all this sort of, like, she's really trying.
I mean, we've all been there where you're like, that's stupid. What you just were doing was stupid. You know, like, you're beating yourself up.
Yeah.
You know, so 100%. Like, yeah. It's, you know, they let you in. When she's handing out the yearbooks, and she's like, at the start of the year, you each received a colored ticket. I hope everyone still has theirs. I just like the reaction of, like, huh? What?
And what was it?
Nelson, he's like,
oh, but he's like, who died and made you? He's
like, Mr. Estes, the publications advisor. And he's like, if you hadn't done it, someone or loser would have quit milking it. And he's just like, starts like throwing them out. Like,
immediately, her whole moment is ruined.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that Bart's signing yearbooks.
I was like, what a genius idea to make it like as if The Simpsons has finished up for the summer and Bart is an actor. And like he's like
they're rapping for the season.
Yeah, and it's like
literally like,
hey, thanks for coming out. Like that whole thing, like it's as if like they've broken the fourth wall.
I like the fact that on his sign it's like no personalized greetings.
It's very crusty, like, you know, he's learned from the best. Like, but I love how like Milhouse is his handler, like, this is Becky. She's in the second grade.
Like, hi Becky.
Thanks for coming out. See ya. He writes like people talk.
The next thought that I have here is just I love how it's Flanders and Homer.
Yes.
Like Homer's leaning on the fence, and I love, first of all, I just love that dynamic of them in their respective gardens just talking. But Homer is so unimpressed, and Flanders is like just going
like, Homer
on
even
on.
Like being like, wrap it up. Like yeah. He's like, get to the point.
He offers him his beach house and he's still like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like he's asking him to sweeten the deal more.
Well then, Mr. Brownground, let's see what you got me.
Yeah, that was the next line I had. Love that.
So then
I was gonna say, like, the line where they wouldn't do it now, and I know they were doing it ironically, but I don't even think they would do that now, is when Lisa's talking about
Gore Vidal
is like, yeah, and even he's kissed more boys than I ever will.
Marriage. Girls, Lisa. Marriage again. Kiss. Killing it. Like, yeah. Boys kiss girls.
Marriage is great in this one as well. Marriage really.
Like, she
would appreciate it, I feel, by myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, but this season especially.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Because she's used just the right amount, I think.
Like, you can see it creeping in. I think it was season 6 with the whole potato thing. I think it's, like, that's one of my favourite marriage quotes. Like, I just think they're neat. And they, when they start giving her something to do that's not, like, her nagging.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that they pointed out in that episode with Brad Goodman.
Yeah.
How that's all she ever does is nag. You know, like, when they start letting her personality shine a little bit more. It's so good.
Great.
Like, it's so good. Like,
the car.
Before we get to the car, sorry. Like, when Marge is like, "You'll make plenty of friends. All you have to do is be yourself," and it's like real like light music, and Marge leaves and it's like, "Be myself." I've done it for 8 years and it hasn't worked. They just undercut it straight away. Like,
yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
And then they're going in the car and Bart's like, when the hell are we going to get to?
Now, hold on, it's called Little Pog Modasquaz Smessaport. I butchered that, but like,
I seen it on the library written. I was like, what the hell sort of
Pog Modasquaz Smessaport. It's known as America's Scrot Basket.
I thought Springfield was America's crud basket.
No, Springfield is America's crud bucket. At least according to Newsweek.
There's something about, like, Marge has developed, like, this
deadpan.
Yeah, like, she's this vehicle for, like, delivering, like, a sort of slightly disapproving line. Like, just a little frown where she's like, no, Springfield is America's crud bucket.
What I loved about this was the fact that they're going to this fictional place means so much more to me than the Simpsons are going to Quebec or whatever. Ooh. You know, like, it means so much more.
Definitely.
That they've created this fake, this fictional area to go to. It means they put more detail into it. It means it just makes it a bit more special.
Yeah, definitely.
I will say, when it works, is like when they go to Australia.
Yeah.
Or like when they go to New York is where it works.
Doesn't it work?
Like I say, when they go
Japan.
To Canada. Japan to a lesser extent. Like, they do a joke in, and like, I used to love the episode. I don't know, I'd be interested to rewatch it. You know that one, Behind the Laughter?
Oh yeah.
And like, they're in the recording booth and it's like, the Simpsons are going to Delaware.
Yeah.
And then they actually do an episode where they're going to Delaware.
Oh right.
And it's like, okay, you're winking at us after already winking at us. But like, that kind of stuff, you know, doesn't work. They go to Florida, like,
yeah.
I know, it just, like, and maybe it's just because they've done it so many times. Whereas with Australia, with
New
York, yeah, it was fresh, and it was, like you say, it felt big. Whereas now it's like, oh, they're gone somewhere else again.
Like, it's always got to be like a big announcement, like, so this is what we're doing this episode. But there's a bit in this episode that in this house we use at least maybe twice a day, every day. And that is when Lisa, well, first of all, you have this scene where Lisa's going shopping with Marge, and Lisa finds clothes that she likes. She's like, bring money. And she's all like, whatever, so 90s. But when she sees the kids underground,
the bird?
And she goes to say hi, and the bird goes, she just like runs back. But that is used every day in our house where someone talks over the other, or it's usually actually Carrie will cough as I'm about to deliver some sort of great punchline in my eyes. And every time, whenever someone does it, the other person goes, caw, caw.
Very good.
Yeah,
I'm just getting back a little bit because there's some stuff I want to talk about when they arrive at the house.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I nearly skipped the whole thing.
It's like, well, diddly Elcom. He actually wrote diddly. And like,
that's a joke. I always remember me dad laugh at that.
It's something about Homer just being like in pure like dad mode. He's not involved in the main storyline. He's off doing his own thing. All the other stuff where it's like the boys jump into the water. It's like, low tide, boys.
He's just in the car.
Driving the car in the water. All these little things. Like, I was just like, I couldn't get over how much I was enjoying it. Like, I was like, they put food in me. He's like, I'll take that. I was like, yes, of course.
I always like that joke where it's like, fill me. It's like, with what, Ned?
Yeah, it's like, with what? Lisa is like looking for the kids and she goes to the library.
Yeah.
And it's like Pippi Longstockings and then like the guy, from the New Yorker.
Yeah.
And it's like, won't you join our tea party? Yeah. It would be ever so. Don't do it, Lisa. He's like, has the gun to her head, like. The Mad Hatter.
She just runs away. Like, is she insane? Is Lisa hallucinating? And you have Bart then spying. I love the whole dynamic of Bart and Milhouse in the bushes. And Bart, like first of all, Milhouse is like, Lisa's skateboarding with some cool kids.
And she Bart looks goes, like Blossom.
And he goes to like rock their or Bart their world, as he puts it. And he does all these tricks, and you're like, the kid's trying too hard. And all this, and I love the where they're like, look at the slingshot in his backpack. It's like, what is he, Dennis the Menace?
Yeah.
And you just hear like one of the guys go, Mr. Wilson or something.
But like, Faye, I was watching with Faye, and it was like, I don't know what they said. It was like, but it was like, oh, would they give out to her for reading or whatever? And I was like, you have to remember, this is like 96, it's Gen X, like. Doing nothing was the coolest thing. Like, trying was so lame. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it was so uncool.
Yeah, you know, that was the only way. Everybody was so disaffected.
That's true, isn't
like,
it?
It is. And you're like, that's what it was. It was like, so when you see Bart doing it, I was like, oh my God. Like, it does seem so fucking lame. Whereas when I was a kid, I was like, that's so cool. Like,
yeah, look at all the cool stuff he can do. Why wouldn't they want to be friends?
Exactly.
He's right up their street.
And then when you're looking at it from like the perspective of the 90s Gen Xer, you're like, oh yeah, like, no, that guy would be like, oh, fuck off, like, will you?
Yeah.
You know?
The fuck
like,
is this?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but when he goes back to the bush and Milhouse is like, are we down with them?
No.
They must have seen you.
I did like now how Lisa has kind of, when she slipped into it, she's like, you like hanging out? It's like, yeah, well, it beats doing stuff. And I'm like,
yeah, she's getting the hang
of it. Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah. When they're playing the.
Okay, so here's where I want to talk about my favorite bit of animation. First of all, where Homer pulls the captain of the football team in the mystery day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he's like, ooh, he's a dreamboat. Like, don't wait up, Marge. And she's like, so it's just Homer and Marge, first of all, really enjoying themselves as like a couple.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember like going on holidays down the country with my parents and it being like, we'd be playing cards or something like that. Like, so very much like my mom and my dad having to like do family activities, you know, with the kids. So that like that rang very true for me.
Yeah.
We'd be playing Switch or something like that. But then when Marge is like, okay, Bart, your turn. And he's like, he pulls the dud and shows it. And I don't know if you noticed this, but Homer's face when he sees Bart has the dud, and he's like, and he has like a big, like, slow grin that, like, winds up. He's like, like,
oh, why do we have to play this lousy old game?
Because it was the only one in the house. Come on, Homer, open the door for your mystery date.
Ooh, captain of the football team. He's a dreamboat. Don't wait up, Marge.
Okay, Bart, your turn, your turn. You got the dud!
Hey, he looks just like you, Poindexter.
How come Lisa doesn't have to play? Why does she get to hang out with her friends?
You got friends, you got the dud right here. Stand up for yourself, Poindexter.
But it's just this, like, it's this grin, like,
couldn't be happier.
Yeah, like, it's like the realization that he picked the dud, but it doesn't, he doesn't burst out straight away. Just the smile, like, creeps up. It's like, brilliant. You got the dud. And I was saying it to Faye, I was like, that is so good. And she's like, what? I'm like, hold on, let me wind it back. And she's like, I've never seen animation like that before in The Simpsons. But it's literally just him, like...
Hang on, I'm going to actually look at it here. Let me just see.
I couldn't believe it, like...
Okay, hang on.
Are you getting up Disney Plus?
How did I never notice that before?
It's so good, like...
It's like, it's, the rest of his face doesn't move, it's just the mouth.
His mouth, like, it's wide. And his eyes are so wide, like...
Brilliant. Oh, that's great. It's
so good. And then, like... He's like,
that's a real meme now that you got the dud.
Yeah, it's a big
that's
one.
That's used,
like,
loads.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing where then Bart's like, oh, how come Lisa gets to hang out with friends? Like, you got friends, you got the dud right here. Stand up for yourself, Poindexter. Because he's been like, that looks like you, Poindexter. Just Homer being the obnoxious dad, yeah. I'm loving. Like,
yeah, I do really like the whole Homer and Marge being just like a... enjoying themselves.
Yeah, they're on holidays.
No drama for them. It's Lisa's stress this episode. They're just enjoying themselves.
They're having fun. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, and then you have Homer looking to buy the fireworks was my next note.
So I assume you know that, like, the whole first part of this used to be cut out when it'd be on Sky or RTE.
The condoms.
Let me have some of those porno magazines, large books of condoms, a couple of those panty shields. And
what's
so
a panty shield?
I guess it's like pantyhose. I don't know.
Tell you right now, Terry.
And one of those disposable enemas. Make it two.
Panty shield. Oh, they're like, just like panty liners.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
And you get, I don't know, this one, this thing here with, like, the, I don't know if this is more offensive or whatever, like, the guy being, you know, supposed to be a poo, another version of a poo, and I'm like, I'm more forgiving of the characterization of a poo because they make him a well-rounded character, whereas this is just the gag for the gag's sake.
Yeah.
It works, but, like, I was like, I could see why people would be offended of this, you know?
They always, there's, it's like outside of Springfield, there's just these, like, parallel universes.
Yeah.
Like Shelbyville, they're all a bit different. Joe's instead of Moe's and all this sort of stuff. And now here they've got, like, a near mirror image of the Quickie Mart with the more stereotypical clerk. But I like the whole thing where he's just
follow
got
me.
A speech prepared. Yeah, the sale of fireworks is prohibited and follow me.
Yeah. The M320.
What was it? Celebrate your
the independence of your country by blowing up a small part of it.
The probably one of the biggest laughs I got was when Marge is unpacking the bag and she's like, "Heesh, I don't know what you got planned for tonight, Homer, but count me out." Great.
Yeah.
You never get have Marge like with a little sort of just even an acknowledgement of like something like that.
And Marge's like, didn't you buy any meat? It's like, this baby's sure to kill something. So then you get the whole, this is the most, like, Looney Tunes. It, like, I was thinking how grounded the episode was, except bar this scene.
Homer with the bomb?
Yeah.
It is very Looney Tunes. The animation is real different. That's fine. You know,
like him, like
it's proper like cartoony. Like he moves differently. He moves faster. He moves.
He's on his
like,
tippy toes. He's like Wayne Knight in Seinfeld or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like
hauling ass.
With the risk board.
Risk.
A game of world domination.
Yeah, we're playing a friendly game here, pal.
Ukraine is weak.
I did laugh. I laughed at Lisa doing like where Bart wants to go over there and she's like, don't have a cow, man. You just hear in the distance.
First of all, I thought was really funny. Before that was like, you know, the sink explodes and it's black goop. And Bart and Milhouse are on the porch and you just see Marge mopping with her
angrily
like a furrowed brow, like
just in the background, like doesn't even freak out, just like, well,
this is what like I signed up for with Homer, you know, like.
And Bart's here and Lisa, like, I love that where for the first one it could be like an accent where it's like, don't have a cow, man, and Marge's like, oh, you haven't said that in 4 years, let her have it. And straight away again, it's funnier because you can hear it in the distance. It's just like, ay, caramba.
And like the way they do it, we kind of skipped over, I think, but like with Lisa and her friends, because it's not really jokes.
Yeah.
But like the little scene where it was like they're hanging out at the beach house and it was like, oh, my, your mom's cool, you know, like mine be coming in with Rice Krispie Squares and Tang. That's a great gag with Marge, like the straight turnaround.
She just turns right around.
Yeah. And I was actually thinking of you where it was like the guy, like, my mom's French, so we only celebrate Bastille Day. For those of you out there, that's Andy's birthday.
Bastille Day is a great way to remember it, folks.
Yeah.
I accept all forms of gifts, so please don't be shy.
But I don't know why, but it was like, it's like, I know where there's a beach. I know where we can get some baguettes.
I don't actually remember that bit.
Yeah, that was like that because they're doing a beach party. Then, like, you know, they have the nice moment.
Lisa's coming on a bit strong, if I may say, where she's like, oh, I just know we're going to be friends forever.
I was thinking, I was like, what's her name?
Very uncool. Yeah. That was true to life. She would have lost them then and there. Coming on a bit strong.
But then again, though, like, she's 8, you know? That's the thing, like...
True, yeah. How old are they supposed to be, though? Are they supposed to be, like, Bart's age? Like, 10?
I think so. 10 or, like, 12, you know what I mean? Like, preteen. And Lisa's playing it older because she's that bit more intelligent, I guess.
The thing is, like, I remember back in the 90s, I remember thinking that those kind of characters were cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I did... Without any irony, I thought that people who... looked and acted and dressed like that were cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe I was just obsessed with like America and America's cool when you're so young and you see all these shows and movies and all that.
But that's because that's what was cool at the time. And like now nerd stuff is cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what's not cool? Masculinity. It's toxic, Andy. Toxic. Right, listen,
I could talk on. You know what? I'm not even going to. The Milhouse with no glasses is always hilarious.
Bart spying on Milhouse, on them with Milhouse's glasses, and he's like, "I need my glasses," and like he's like, "Now, what is this that he's petting?
Some sort of crustacean."
I was like, "Is it like a sand viper or something like that?"
Yeah,
like,
it's one of those things with like a sort of the pointy.
The noise out of it alone, I was
clearly not a dog. He's a like, nice doggy. His tiny little eyes.
And Lisa's having a great time, and then Bart ruins it.
Yeah.
With bringing out retrospectivus.
I like the whole thing of her on the trampoline, and every time she goes up, she sees him a little further on the horizon.
What a shit. Like, you know?
A little dickhead. Like.
Yeah. What an asshole.
The breakfast scene I thought was actually quite good, where, you know, as soon as Marge leaves the room, like, that was a good performance by Yardley.
Where like, I know exactly.
Mean little snake. And like, she's just about to squirt the syrup over his head and just and sits back down.
Perfect animation of her just being like, you know, sullen again.
And Marge like, look, kids, there's a carnival tonight. Yeah. Milhouse comes out from behind the cereal box. Oh boy, a carnival. I love the fact that the Simpsons are just there with Milhouse. Yeah. You know, no one else.
Like, did you guys never have that when you were younger where it was like you went on holidays and a friend came.
We did. Yeah. For, it'd be more for like weekends, I suppose. But yeah,
I went with like Brian's family to Spain for 2 weeks. He came to Tunisia with us for 2 weeks. Like, you know, it was that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
And it's very much the parent to like bring a friend so you can entertain each other and we can, you know.
You see it now being a parent. Yeah,
100%. The whirly. Well, first of all, the clown soaking game.
Yeah.
And like Lisa, you know, beats Bart to the punch.
Yeah.
And then they're on the Tilt-A-Whirl whirly gig thing and
disgusting.
Burrell Bill House.
Loogies at each other spitting. And then the bumper cars, Marge, like, remember, there's no need to bump. Just enjoy the ride. And as the thing starts,
happy driving around.
She drives off with a big smile on her face.
I thought it was a very good idea. I thought, like, screenplay wise, to be like, they're both revving up, and for some reason, Lisa's one doesn't work. It kind of undercuts the tension, but also, like, heightens it. And it really plays into the end and, like, makes a good way for Bart to see the error of his ways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good, actually. Yeah. It was a good way to do it. And then, so she fucks off, essentially. And the kids are destroying the car with a nice message of Lisa rules.
Sweet merciful crap.
I love that. You just see Homer's shadow, sweet merciful. But the fact then when they're like driving home, I love the fact that Homer and Marge are just silently driving, frowning like at the seagulls just all over the car.
Marge being like, they should have cleaned out the shells first.
Yeah.
And then you get like, well, first of all, like Bart shows them the yearbook, so they write lovely messages for it, and then like a little like cherry on the cake, Milhouse. I always signed it too in his strappy seat, no less. So forget about that. Like,
and the fact that he doesn't even say "see you in the car."
Best wishes,
Milhouse.
And then. Lovely little Beach Boys tune to
great see tune, and I think we both had the same 100%. That's the closer, right there.
Yes, sir. Now I will say something to Andy. I normally love your choices for exit music.
Go on.
And last week, the amount of tunes we talked about,
what did I go with in the end?
1969.
Yeah, now, yeah, okay, yes.
I was like, it's going to be Free Ride, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And then I was like, oh, I like it, but like, you know.
See, this is just exactly what happens with the edit, all right? I've either got no songs or I've got too many songs. And I almost prefer to have no songs. But when we discuss like 10 songs, I know I'm getting it wrong. But it's usually like 1 a.m. at this point. I'm just trying to think what's a good one. I was going to go with Zero, first of all, by Smashing Pumpkins. And then I thought, no, that's too, like, eh. And then I was going to go with Mountain, Mississippi Queen.
Yeah.
Which I probably should have done. But then I thought, Smashing Pumpkins is a nice sort of ease out. Like, but
then if you're going to go with that one, like we were talking about, like, Disarm. Yeah.
That's too, it's too, you know what I mean? It's too...
No, I don't know.
Flimsy. It's too namby-pamby. You know what I mean?
What's 19...
For a closer.
No, get out of here.
1979 end credit song.
You should have went with Free Ride.
Well, I didn't.
Did it?
I went with 1979. All right? I'll send you my audio file. And let's see what you come up with, pal.
Well, now, all the assistants.
Listen, on that bombshell, Terry, should we get into ratings?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
I've got the gif just looping on
the
Frank
smile
of Homer just been like, how did I never notice that before?
I only noticed it this watch, but it's amazing.
Fucking great.
Let me ask you something.
Oh.
Since our last one of the season.
Yes, sir.
How did we get here? We know it's so quick.
So quick. Did we, like...
25 episodes, though.
What episode were we on? Or what, were we on season 6 when lockdown started?
Yeah.
Lockdown.
We finished.
Number 1.
Yeah, because we... only did one episode. I think we did the start of season six. I think it was Radioactive Man we did in the studio. Does that sound right?
I have no idea.
We've only done one in the studio. We did Radioactive Man and Doctor Strange, I think, were the back-to-back episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That seems like a lifetime ago.
That one time that we were able to get in before we
got in at Christmas to do the commentary.
Now, I'd love to do the commentary again. You know what? I must post it. I came across on my Instagram stories a clip of us discussing Iron Man that I put out, and I was there like, fucking couch man, fucking whatever, and you were like, oh, you fucking, and I was there like, oh, all the pals, and now, like, cut to now where I'm like, I feel like I'm the biggest Marvel mark.
Yes, Andy, you're a mark.
To the point where I actually sent Kerry a text. I was going to take a screenshot of, actually, just to see how far I've come. I was going to the shop the other week, and I was saying to Kerry before I left, I'll have to change my trousers because I was in like Marvel trousers, and then I forgot. So when I left for the shop, I'm in the car, I'm about to get out of the car, put my mask on, and I look down, I'm wearing these like colourful Hulk, He-Man, Captain America, Iron Man trousers, just texting Kerry. He's like, I'm still wearing the fucking trousers.
Why didn't you stop me?
Anyway, sorry, Terry. That's not the question you asked. It was, what did I think of it?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I liked it a lot. I wasn't sure. You know, I'm still not sure whether it's on the lower end of the excellent scale or the higher end of the good scale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't. Like, it was funny, but it seemed a little bit. I feel like I should judge it on its own almost, you know what I mean, compared to the season. It seems it's a very different kind of episode, but you know, I enjoyed it. For at least episode especially, it was definitely one of the better ones. I'll tell you right now, my MVP is my man Milhouse.
Oh,
Thrill House.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent. It was a close one between him and Marge, to be honest.
Mine was a three-way dance, and I'll let you know who got the pin at the when it comes to me.
My rating, if you're asking for it, Terry, is a respectable 8.4. Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But I liked it a lot.
I'm with you there. I liked it a lot too. I actually thought it was a lot better than I was.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, at least episode. I knew there was a few bits in it. I actually like laughed out loud a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
So, like, that for me, like, I don't know. The little bits with Homer, like, they just, like, tickled me so much in this episode that it was, like, almost like you'd be like, oh, I want more of Homer, but the reason why it works is because he's not the main story. You know what I mean? Exactly, that he's just off doing his own thing. Like,
it's almost worth it sometimes, like, to sacrifice a Homer episode to have him in these golden moments.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't have been surprised if, like, Lisa's on the beach with her friends and Homer's on, like, a pair of skis, jet ski, or doing something in the background. Like, you know, that's kind of what he was. He's just, like, you know, bobbing and weaving.
I love when Homer's unshackled by a plot.
But I do think they did a really good job with Lisa in that, like, you feel for her. It's sad.
Yeah.
You know? And how, I guess, like, they can tap into that, like, feeling we've all had at one point in our lives, I'm sure.
Yeah, where you're like, to make friends.
Yeah, that whole awkward, like, the idea, like, when she's like, I'm going to go find some kids. I was like, oh, God, the idea of doing that now. Like, as opposed to, like, being an adult and you just go to a bar and you sit down.
How do you do it when you're a kid?
Yeah, you go to a bar and you sit down and you watch what's on the screen, and eventually you could end up talking to somebody or whatever, music, whatever. Whereas as a kid, you're like, I have to go find kids, and kids can be so fucking cruel, like,
especially so much more
intimidating at that age, like.
Yeah, and especially, like, what is it about the fact that, like, when you're young and you're walking in a group, and there's another group that's just walking up the road, there's just this like immediate animosity. But, like, there's no, like, you know, how's it going, lads? You know, anything like that.
Hey, boys. Like, what are you going on over here?
If there is, you're about to get mugged. Or in my case, anyway.
Give me your phone. You
know, give me your phone. Sure. You want this too? Priceless family heirloom.
You want my glasses as well? Speaking of which, I'm thinking about getting glasses in the next month or so.
Oh yeah, do you need them?
I think.
What do you mean you're thinking of getting them? You either need them or you don't.
Well, my eyes
are
getting worse.
To people like me,
my eyes are getting worse. So I think I get my eyes tested, and then I'm anticipating they're going to be like, "You need glasses, sir."
But if you get it done on opticians, they'll tell you that.
I don't know where I'm going. Faye got her eyes tested and a new pair of specs for 100 blips.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I look forward to seeing it. What kind of frames are you thinking?
Now, I don't know if you've seen that picture of Adam Driver going around lately. Type in Adam Driver, Lady Gaga. These are the glasses that I want. But they probably aren't practical at all.
Like 80s serial killer glasses.
Yes, Andy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely you should.
Giant L frames, like.
Yeah, that's what it is. L frames. They're very 80s,
yeah.
But I like them. It's what's in.
I'm an 80s
An 80s man at heart.
Would get my MVP would be Homer.
Nice.
Just, you know, I was a little, and Milhouse is a very, very close second, and Marge is a very close third. Like Marge, they all were killing it. You know. They were maximizing their screen time. My rating would be an 8.8.
Oh, okay. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say the side characters kind of stole the show in this one.
But
like Lisa held it up.
Lisa's doing the heavy lifting, yeah. And it frees up everybody else to kind of come in with the gags. You know what I mean? Lisa has the spine, the heart.
We never really even talked about Christina Ricci's performance, but it was just like, there wasn't a lot to really, she's kind of just talking.
Yeah, she didn't really have to convey much emotion. Yeah. That's the thing, and she's playing the disaffected youth, you know? But it was perfect casting for, like, you know, the girl of the 90s, which Christina Ricci
very much
was. Like, you know, Adam's Family Values is like 92, I think.
92, was it?
I think so, yeah.
So good. Is that movie...
Oh, it still holds up. I watched it there recently.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. No, I did too. But is that seen as like a classic comedy?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think good. I think when people talk about the Addams Family, they're like, you could never make those movies again. Like live action. Yeah. They wouldn't work now because people are too cynical.
True.
And if you look at it now, it hits the right tone of wackiness and like high jinks, you know, like, but also like the casting, they got the casting of everybody spot on.
They did, didn't they?
Like, I watched the first one, like, yeah, I watched like Raul Julia as Gomez is one of the best performances you'll ever see. And I mean, like,
love it
ever. Like, you tell me anybody else that could play that part better, and I will call you a liar and cut your throat.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I mean,
taking a sharp left turn.
Shoot you in the head and bury in the desert. No, I mean,
no, that's weird. Yeah, he's amazing.
He's irreplaceable. Like,
he's on fire, the whole thing.
I've seen the second one so many more times than the first one. And when I watched the first one, I was just like blown away at how like fully formed he is as this character. Yeah. And like the whole thing was like, I think it's your man from Clueless. The dad from Clueless is trying to con him out of the... And he's like, dirty pool, old boy. And like he's like flipping him around or whatever in the office. And he's just like... You're like, what is he? Like, is he a vampire? Is he a zombie? Yeah, is he like the undead?
When he's on the screen, I'm not looking at anyone else.
Yeah, but then you have like Angelica Houston, who is perfect as the wife, like, and then like whenever the two of them are on screen together, the fact that he can't control himself, like, he's like, it's just so fucking good. So when are we doing the Addams Family? We should do commentaries on the Addams Family.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Listen, Terry, can we get our plugs in, please?
Please. Why don't you tell me where people can find us online?
Instagram, Twitter, at Put It in H Podcast. You'll find everything we do there. You'll find merch. Thanks to everyone who bought up the merch. Sorry, we ran out of pins. We'll be ordering more. Yeah. And we'll be ordering some key rings as well soon.
You can still get our t-shirts, by the way, if you're...
Yes,
you
know. Absolutely. You'll find the link on our Patreon bio. And I will say, email us.
I'm very proud of that shirt because it's a super comfy one that I...
it is comfy.
And it's quite a flattering t-shirt as well, I think.
Now, it was when I started lockdown. And now, you know what I'm turning into, Terry?
A lowercase b?
Yeah.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah, I'm turning into...
I'm getting there myself. Yeah, I
swear to God, I'm one of these people who, like, when they reach for something, the bottom of their belly sticks out under their t-shirt. And, like, my shirt keeps getting... My shirt just keeps getting untucked at the back. Yeah. And I'm one of these fucking pigs who's always tucking in the shirt. Like, I'm sure my crack is out as well when I'm bending over for something. I'm just turning into one of those guys.
I have a few of the t-shirts that I had to take out of the rotation. Because there's chicken skin being shown off.
Yeah. You know?
I can't.
So, I'm good. I'm glad to hear that, to be honest.
Fucking open these gyms again, man. Me and Farrah were saying it, like... What I wouldn't do, I'd kill for a spin class. You know? At 6:30 in the morning spin class, set you up for the day.
I love an early morning sort of workout, whether it's even the gym or jiu-jitsu or whatever. Like, and because I'm no good if I'm left to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have discipline for like 5 days, insane discipline for 5 days, and then I'll do nothing for 4 months.
Pringles, €2 for €2. Well, I can't pass that up.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, Jesus. Anyway, you can find a link to our Patreon there on our Instagram. Why don't you tell the folks about the Patreon?
Well, the Patreon, it's all happening. It's all happening over on the Patreon. Now, if you subscribe for the low fee of $5 a month.
I think it might even be $4.50. I see some people are on a $4.50 tier. I don't remember approving that.
You got some nerve out there.
there was something to do with the dollars and euros and VAT. I don't know, but it's fine.
$5, isn't it?
Yeah, and then it was. I don't know.
Anyway,
something
over it's there. You get 4 episodes a month, right? You get 2 of our sister podcast. What's So Great About? Where we take a topic and we kind of dig in to see what's so great. First one we did was 23-episode mini series. I use that term loosely.
I think it was 24
on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where I was trying to show Andy what's so great about it. So he starts off absolutely hating it, and by the end, well, who knows? You'll have to pay.
even though 15 minutes ago I just went into detail.
Was that on air? Oh Jesus,
forget it.
Anyway, Andy is now curating a lovely actual miniseries. You know, it's not too big, hopefully, on 90s action movies.
We've done Broken Arrow, we've done True Lies, we've done Speed, and we're about to record Die Hard with a Vengeance after this one.
It's good, a lot of good stuff there. And then the other 2 per month are kind of fun, loose, you know, jazz sets. We've done...
where we take the baseline for a walk.
Yeah, Over the Bridge, Lazy Susan, and then Over the Bridge. So we've done stuff on the Royal Rumble. We just did one on Beyond the Mat, the wrestling documentary.
We have a couple of wrestling episodes.
We've done stuff. We've done like 6 music episodes. It's all like, if you like our back and forth, and you want to, you know, listen to something else apart from us talking about The Simpsons, that's where you want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, if you can't afford the $5 or $4.50 in some people's case,
$4.50 a month.
Yeah, if you can't afford that, it's fair enough. But what you can do instead is support us by giving us a rating and review. Now, I know we just did the episode Summer of 4'2", but what I want to do is I want to make it the Spring of 5 Stars. So. Come on, I put some work into this one. Give me a 5-star review, you know, a rating on your Apple Podcasts, any of that stuff.
Guess who's back? Back again.
2 Chalamont girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. So give me a rating and a review of 5 stars. You know,
so give me a rating. Me. Come on.
Come on.
Stayed up all night dying my underwear.
Hello, human fly here. You know, that really helps grow the podcast. And look, if you can't do that, thank you for listening. That's the base level of, you know, helping us.
Yeah. Really is the least you can do. You know, we should really lead with the thanks so much for listening and tack on.
No.
Folks, we appreciate that you're just here with us for the silliness.
Otherwise, we're just talking into the echo. So,
yeah, nobody wants that. Listen, I don't have anything else to say, so I hope he approves of the music this week, folks.
It's happy to be for us. Cheers.